What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 24. I'm one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Please, Predators, don't break my heart.
And Tyler.
Happy Dingus Day, everybody. Man.
Happy what? Dingus Day.
Happy Dingus Day.
You said that earlier. What is that?
So, Dingus Day is, in the Catholic tradition, King Dingus was a Polish king. And he got baptized the day after Easter, and he was the first king to get baptized into Christianity, Catholicism. So he was the first kind of ever Polish king, and it's called Dingus Day. And if you look it up, women get water tossed at them, and men get smacked with pussy willows.
Wow. Wow, that is... I actually did not know that second part. Okay.
Now you know. Yeah, Dingus Day. It's always the day, always the day after Easter. I celebrate it with a beer and a text from my dad and my brother saying Happy Dingus Day.
Did you throw water at your wife?
No, she's sick. I have to respect her.
It's probably for the best as well. And Drew, fun fact, I'm about 90% sure we went over that exact topic last year on the same episode of this time.
We probably did. I'm sure I could go look at the OTSR records and find that out, but clearly didn't stick with me.
Well, welcome back to Dingus Day. Happy Dingus Day, everyone. Listeners, happy Dingus Day as well. We're going to kick today's episode off talking about the NFL draft coming up. Do the Cardinals take Kyler Murray first overall? Drew, your thoughts?
I think they're going to do it. They haven't committed hard to taking him or not taking him. But I think if they were going to pass on him, they would already be making it known so people can ramp up the packages they want to offer for that first overall pick. I think they're just delaying to make people forget a little more the Josh Rosen thing, because once they take Kyler Murray, that's all people are going to talk about. And I don't know how you can pass him up, especially considering that the coach for the Cardinals actually like worked with Kyler Murray and knows Kyler Murray personally. It just seems like a no-brainer.
Are you kidding me? This is
no
a word I've not used in a long time, a dumpster fire. The guy couldn't make up his mind between baseball and football. He didn't know what he wanted to throw. And he finally picks football. And it's unfortunate in today's society where we think, oh, a draft pick's going to solve everything. Only if you're in the NBA. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to solve. If you're in the NBA, then yeah, one draft pick's going to change everything. But in this case, a quarterback, I can name 7 quarterbacks better than Kyler Murray. One of them being Blake Bortles, who I dislike very much. But he would do a better job than Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray can't make up his mind, for one. Two, he played on an Oklahoma team that all it was offense, and was him running around like a Johnny Manziel with a freaking parrot on his shoulder. College football is so different from NFL, and the fact that just the society as a whole thinks that Arizona is going to be saved, no. It's not. I'd rather have Johnny Manziel than Kyler Murray on my team because, for one, Johnny Manziel's played in the NFL and knows how to get his bell rung, and Kyler Murray has only played college. And two, he didn't know whether he was going to play baseball or football. And to me, for a guy to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, it doesn't make sense for me to even look at him once. And what, other than if you're Andrew Luck, maybe a Carson Wentz, maybe a Mahomes who sat a year, those are the quarterbacks that I'm looking for, not a Kyler Murray who's, you know, a Doug Flutie-sized and has somewhat of an arm and can run like Usain Bolt. That's not the NFL quarterback that I'm looking for. And to think Arizona's going to be saved by this guy is unfortunately terribly wrong.
Okay, I'm going to go kind of a combination route here. I think Kyler Murray goes first overall to the Arizona Cardinals.
Ew.
I don't think it's the best move, though, in my opinion. I want to see more out of Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen still has the potential. We've only seen him in 1 year. In that year, his star running back got injured. His wide receivers were not up to the healthiest par that they could have been at. I think really you need to see that wide receiver core improve more than anything on that Cardinals offense. That and improving the line would also help Rosen as would also help Rosen as well. So for me, it's not necessarily the quarterback position that needs to be changed over. It's the people surrounding that position. I think Kyler could come in and do a good job. I also think he's unproven, though. I mean, he had one good season. In 2015, he didn't really do that much at Texas A&M. Oklahoma, he didn't play that much in 2017. So you're going off of one star season more than anything. And like Tyler said, a lot of it was on the back of his running game. He rushed for over 1,000 yards. You're not going to get something like that in the NFL, or it's going to be very rare that you do. And even if you do hit 1K running, you're not going to be able to do that in back-to-back seasons. We've seen it before. Running quarterbacks get injured. I mean, look at RG3. Look at Michael Vick. There have been so many quarterbacks injured with that run-first approach. So for me, Kyler's talented. I think he's good. I just think there's better picks the Cardinals could go with here. You have Nick Bosa, defensive end. I mean, Rashawn Gary is a freak-like athlete. Like, there are a lot of guys in this draft that are available. Yes, the Cardinals might not need those positions, but I almost feel like passing up Kyler is not a bad decision here. You already have a young quarterback. There's other ways to improve your offense, and you could really stack this defense high.
Well, and if they're not going to take him, they need to trade that pick. But I think they're going to take him, and I agree, it's probably not the best move, but it's... Josh Rosen's a good quarterback, but Kyler Murray has all the potential in the world. Even he has more potential than Josh Rosen does, and it's dumb to bet your franchise on potential, but that's kind of where they're at this point. They've blown apart what was a good team for a few years there, and it's not been anything since. You might as well take a big gamble on something. Because nothing else is
working. This is a terrible big gamble, though. Why not invest in a quarterback that you know is familiar with, has been there before with Josh Rosen, and just let him stick it out another year? There's no reason to put this type of gamble to go back to back with getting your star with two star quarterbacks. I mean, to me, it seems stupid from the general manager's perspective of getting two back to back quarterbacks. I mean, if you're a general manager and you pick Kyler Murray, you're not coming back next year.
It's a different GM already, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
I think the reason that they're really considering it is if they don't do it this year and Josh Rosen doesn't show any sign of improvement, there's not a better quarterback than Josh Rosen in the draft next year. Kyler Murray is a better quarterback than Josh Rosen.
You can find a free agent quarterback. You can find a Joe Flacco. You can find a Blake Bortles. You could find a Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, you could find a Ryan Tannehill.
I
just feel like they're rushing it, though.
There's plenty of quarterbacks.
No team wins a Super Bowl with that quarterback except for the Rams and Kurt Warner. But you know who came close once? The Cardinals with Kurt Warner. And that's the only time you ever see anyone with a rental
and
quarterback
Carson Palmer.
Make
I mean,
a
Carson
run.
Palmer was pretty close.
Again, close. He didn't make it. All these
he
examples.
Didn't make it, but hey, once again, you have a better chance than Kyler Murray. You have a much better. I mean, you have. I would rather have Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Blake Bortles, Jimmy Garoppolo, whoever backs up Tom Brady. Any one of those
guys. I
don't
even think you need
Josh Allen. Any one of those
Rosen
guys would
yet.
Do better than Kyler Murray.
I mean, I still think Rosen has more to prove. Like, yes, and I Rosen. Agree. I think Kyler Murray has a higher ceiling than Rosen. But at the same point, like, why not just try to work him up? Why not try to make him look better this year? Then maybe you trade him off in 2 years or whatever. I think there's just more potential there. I feel like the picks for defense are higher rated than the quarterback right now.
Yes.
Later down the road, if you wait, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, I could see another Deshaun Watson. I could see another talented quarterback up to a level like that where they could pull someone in that already has a high-level potential. I feel like Kyler Murray is almost settling. It reminds me of what we've seen the Redskins do over and over and over. They draft the next star quarterback. That quarterback gets injured. They move on to the next the following year. I feel like there's no reason for the Cardinals to get in this rut when they can improve at wide receiver, they can improve at offensive line, they could have a freaking stellar defense and then pick up a quarterback 2 to 3 years down the road.
Okay, so let me ask this hypothetical question then. We already know this isn't happening, but if they could get a top 10 pick for Josh Rosen, would it then be smart to make that trade, take Kyler Murray at number one, and then take one of these great defensive players with that top 10 pick that they flipped Rosen for?
I mean, if someone's crazy enough to do that, hell yeah, you take that deal.
Right, they're not going to. We already know that the most they've gotten out of a look for Rosen is like a second round pick or something in preliminary discussions. So it's not going to happen. But if it did, is that a smart move?
No, you stay with the toucan, man. Josh Rosen. I mean, you stay with him for another year, and and you let him.
It's a shame he's not Sam Darnold. He could be Toucan Sam.
No, it's, I mean, have you ever seen a? I mean, you ever seen Josh Rosen?
Tell oh no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, go ahead, take a look. Take a look at a picture at Josh Rosen. Go ahead, everyone. Take out your phones now. Those who are listening to the podcast, tell me what feature sticks out to you for Josh Rosen.
Of course, you would have a picture available, Drew.
My Google foo is strong.
I mean, he's
strong.
Got a larger nose, but okay. I don't know if I give him toucan.
What animal?
I like it. That's my favorite.
What animal
Tyler-ism
do you want to call
so
him?
Far?
Why do we have to call him an animal?
You gotta know that.
I
want to
call him a cardinal. That's
pictures.
What I want to call him.
Look, we have to know.
It's Tyler. Some things are constant. We gotta go with animals.
Let's just say he has a good beak and he belongs on the cardinal.
Right, like a toucan. They do have good beaks.
Have you ever seen a toucan?
Yes, I've seen a toucan.
Have you ever seen a Fruit Loops commercial?
Oh gosh. He's the Fruit Loop guy. Fruit Loops? Hey, Fruit Loops, come here. Fruit Loops, don't get traded.
Okay, but seriously, I don't think this is the right move for them. I mean, I could be completely wrong. I think Kyler could come out and be a stellar quarterback. But again, I think there's so much, first, injury proneness, just because he's a high run quarterback, and they usually do not do that well in the NFL. And then, like I said, I feel like they're moving too quick. So for
Who's
me,
injury prone?
If I'm the Cardinals, I wait on this. I go for a defensive guy. I mean, there's just so many good defensive ends, linebackers, really defensive linemen in general in this draft. I think you go defense here, and then you take wide receivers later on. I don't think you need to move from Rosen yet.
If you're a smart general manager, you figure out your needs. You don't need a quarterback if you're the Cardinals. You figure out your needs, and you find the best player in the draft, and you pick him up. That's it for the first round. You find the best available player for your needs, and you pick him up, and you leave it at that. And then you look at everything else and you say, okay, yeah, that guy can be good, that guy can be good, that guy can be good, and you move on. Speaking of injury prone, I do have a comment on injury prone, but Drew, I know you wanted to say something else.
I already forgot what it was, so go ahead.
Oh, good. So what do you guys think is worse, an injury that has contact or an injury that does not have contact? And the reason why I'm going with this is with the Golden State Warriors, DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know if you saw him. He was chasing after a ball and he just tore his quad.
Yeah, and well, those are just, I hate those the most, because it's like, if you're gonna get hurt, I wish it was like because something happened, but
that's
I don't
terrible.
Feel like it's worse about the person, because it happens to a lot of players. People who take good care of themselves get non-contact injuries. I mean, wasn't Brady's injury non-contact when he tore his ACL?
No, he definitely got it wasn't that it was contact. He just planted his foot and some guy, I think, came from behind or something. And
that's right.
Yeah, I think there was contact involved. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. But so, I mean, but yeah, you get injuries. Like, even guys who take good care of themselves get non-contact injuries. They suck. I hate those more than anything. I'd rather it happen because something happened.
I mean, it sucks and it doesn't. Like, if you're the player, you're super embarrassed in those situations. But at the same point, like, if you have the ability to have a non-contact pull like that, you're most likely going to recover from it a lot quicker than getting nailed by a defensive lineman, or in basketball, really getting hit under the basket. I mean, just Gordon Hayward's injury, I would much rather pull myself and look like an idiot running down the court than have my leg come out of my skin.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think it's much, much worse when it comes to contact injury. So even though you get a little bit more embarrassment, I think it's so much safer and the recovery time is usually much quicker.
An injury is an injury. It sucks. But I think I just find it very, like, I mean, it's Golden State and they have four more all-stars on the team. So I don't expect them to be hurt by this. And not that DeMarcus Cousins really did anything for that team, because you have Durant, Curry, and Thompson. But to me, looking at that injury, it's just, part of it is, I think some athletes are not taking care of themselves. And, you know, they think they can do whatever they want, and they end up, you know, pulling a quad or pulling a hamstring or doing something they're not doing, you know, hurting themselves in a worse way. I mean, what about just thought of a John Wall with his Achilles? Does anybody know how he ruptured his Achilles?
Uh-uh.
I think he was walking down the steps.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it happens a decent amount of basketball, oh but gosh. I feel like baseball, it happens so often, too. Like, as runners are running around the bases, I feel like so many people pull ACLs, MCLs. Like, it's just, it happens way too commonly. Yeah.
Baseball is the least inactive, it's the least active sport of all.
But I think it plays right into your conversation topic. You're talking about non-contact injuries. I feel like baseball has so many for the little amount of contact happening besides the ball and the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that they've removed the runner into the catcher, you can't run into
right,
the catcher
I think that's
anymore.
Completely removed at this point, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
good old Buster Posey.
What has more contact is what has more physical activity is golf than baseball players. In the background, I just heard my wife say, "What? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I agree on that.
I definitely don't agree with that one.
Let me explain. Yeah. Okay. Golf. There are four rounds of golf. Okay.
Okay.
You're walking upwards of over maybe 2 miles a day. So that's 6 miles, and you're swinging a club, you know, sometimes harder than others, and so that's activity right there.
And by walking, you mean you're getting a ride in the golf cart. If you're,
I'm not riding the golf cart. I'm talking about actual professional players. They don't have no golf cart.
I don't think they walk the entire length of the course all 4 days.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I bet not all of them do. I don't think Tiger walks everywhere.
No, the people who get cut on day one, they don't walk anymore because they're done. They walked off the course.
All right, fair.
Okay, yeah, they may get a golf cart to their car and say, thanks for coming. You know, you lose whatever. But no, they walk the entire course. There's no golfer unless you're, you know, playing in your backyard or, you know, playing in your home course. Yeah, then you take a golf cart. But we're talking about PGA. No one's taking a golf cart. They do more activity than actual baseball players. And that's why I don't really like watching baseball.
This is interesting. I actually cannot find like a real article on this.
They don't use golf carts. He's right.
Yeah, it's interesting. So some people, like some media people, have come out and said they just don't tape them on media, but they actually do ride carts if you're at live events. But then another article says it's actually against the PGA Tour rules.
It is. See? Yeah, that I'm just reading here.
Told you.
Yeah.
So do we, so, I mean, is my point, you know?
No, I'm going baseball still.
No, no, no,
just
because
they don't have to do it for 4 days. They have to play 160-something games a year.
They don't play 162 games. They take breaks. Pitchers don't play 162 games.
No, okay,
no,
that's just one position.
Do.
But, I mean, you
left
look at, yeah,
do.
Like a first baseman,
yeah.
They're going
to
play
100 games.
And
how far does first baseman have to move? 90 feet, and then they get thrown out.
Okay, I mean, what about an outfielder? Let's talk outfield.
Center field.
What about
I think
outfielder?
An outfielder is going to run and be more athletic. I mean, just the amount of throwing distance they have to make as well. A golf swing doesn't take as much momentum, but it's not going to take as much strength. It's more fluid than throwing a ball at your full strength.
Yeah, but
you don't
you're
have to sprint
I mean,
in golf.
What's,
you don't right. have to.
You don't have
I mean,
to
you
know, dive.
The age difference, for example.
But listen, you don't have to sprint in baseball either. You could get struck out every single time.
If you're in the outfield, you have to sprint. They
not
don't leisurely walk towards not, the towards a fly not, ball.
Oh, I've definitely seen people walk. I've seen people stand still for a fly ball because it
if
comes
it's
right to
them. Yes,
exactly.
Right,
exactly.
They don't all come exactly. right to them. There's always movement
yeah.
involved. If
and
you're
guess
in the
what?
Outfield.
Not every outfielder gets even touch the ball.
They still have to
I
go
mean,
out there.
Maybe the pitcher's that good. Maybe it's a no hitter.
Right, and that's once a year.
Hey, I'm saying there's not many. Baseball doesn't take a lot of activity.
I have a question for you guys. Is watching white paint dry more impressive than watching blue paint dry?
No.
Like, seriously, guys, we're talking about two things that really don't matter. I mean, we went
that's
from
what
contact.
We do. Why are you surprised by this?
Contact versus non-contact injuries to talking about golfers walking on the course and baseball players standing in the outfield.
Tyler, like, it's like Joey's never listened to us before. It's like he's new.
Oh my gosh.
I'm proving my point.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't think either one is as athletic as a lot of these other sports out there, obviously. I do think they both have their athletic means, though, and I think you're going to get a higher heartbeat, let's say, in baseball. I think running around the bases, running to make a crazy catch in the outfield, yes, they're going to be fewer and far between, but you're also not going to work up a crazy heart rate walking on a golf course. I mean, the temperature can easily play into that, and I think you might feel that a little bit more when it comes to golf because you're being a little bit more active than someone standing on the outfield at the same time, sun's beaming down on you. But, I mean, either way, I think you're going to see non-contact injuries in both of them. I think we do see more in baseball, though, from the base running standpoint than someone just screwing around with their swing.
The only reason why
the Caps just scored, by the way.
The only reason
3-3.
No one cares. The only reason why the heartbeat is up for baseball players is because they take steroids.
Oh, jeez.
That's it. I mean, that's all it is. They just take steroids, and their heartbeat gets a little faster, and they swing the ball a little harder and hit the ball a little harder. I mean, that's it. End of story.
Okay, moving on from this great, lavish topic here. let's move on and see what we have next on the slate. So we can talk more NFL draft. We can take our transition to the NHL playoffs. We can even talk NBA playoffs. What are you guys feeling next?
I would really like to see a number 8 seed beat a number 1 seed in the NBA playoffs, but I know that's not going to happen.
Definitely not this year.
But how about all the wild cards beating the number 1 teams? Lightning going down with a Flash. They got in just as fast and left just as quickly.
Yeah,
Calgary gone.
Flames went out, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I love about hockey and love about sports, about upsets, and this is why I watch sports, to see these types of games and to see these types of Titans fall. After they have a great regular season, they show up to playoffs and just lay a complete egg. I mean, this is not just a, like, oh, you know, I got beat. They got swept. They took the broom to them and put them in the back shed. Pow!
The Flames won one game, I think, and it was a close one at that. And, the Lightning were just swept away. It's crazy. It's the first time that in this format that both one seeds have been eliminated in the first round.
I'm not a fan of the format.
They're wide open. Yeah, it's a little weird.
Not a fan. I mean, Drew, do you want to explain a little bit of the format to our young audience out there who knows nothing about hockey?
If I fully understood it, I would happily do it, but I don't fully understand it myself. So
let me try to explain then, because I know I'm going to do a terrible job as well, but maybe you can correct me.
We'll try.
So what you have to do is you have to play teams that are in your division. So there are... And I'm not talking about just Eastern Conference or Western Conference. I'm talking about, like, in the Metropolitan, the Atlantic. So there's two conferences, Eastern and Western. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Metropolitan and the
Central.
Atlantic. Central and Pacific. Right? And so you have a wild card. You have three teams each. Top three teams from the Metropolitan, and then you have two wild card spots, and those could come both from the Metropolitan or both from the Atlantic.
Yep.
And so you have to be playing your division, kind of you're in your division first. So you either play, you know, for example, like the Capitals always have to play the Penguins either in the first round or the second round in order to play someone from the Atlantic division. So you have to beat everyone in your Metropolitan division before you play someone in the Atlantic division. Does that make sense?
So that's already – I don't know what the right answer is, but that's already wrong because the Lightning played the Blue Jackets, and the Lightning are Atlantic and the Blue Jackets are Metropolitan.
And that's because they're the weakest wild card team.
Gotcha. So if you're – the wild cards will match up with the top two, and then it's the rule that you're saying. Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Thank you for correcting me.
That's good.
That's how that works.
I mean, it's not far off from the baseball format, really, if you think about it. It's just you have to play through your division and then through your conference to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, you lose a little bit of that 1-8, 2-7. Like, you know, you have the case of the Bruins and whoever they're playing. It's like the 2-4 or the 3-5 or something like that. Like, it's a weird matchup. Like, if you're the 3 seed, you should be playing the 6 seed. You know, it shouldn't be the 5. It should be a bit more of a gap because you earned that 3 seed. It's weird that the seeding can be different like that.
Right. It has like a much more I would say divisional focus as opposed to conference focus on this.
Yeah.
Like you really have to work your way through your division, show you're the best there, then work your way through your conference, show you're the best there in order to make it into the Stanley Cup finals. So I don't really hate the format. I think it kind of works, but I do see where you're coming from as well, Drew, where they don't really reward them enough for doing well overall in the conference.
Although apparently you can do as the best that's ever been done in the conference and then still get swept by the last team to get in. So maybe it doesn't matter.
And hey, that's one credit to this format as well, because that wildcard team came in here, Columbus Blue Jackets, did extremely well. And even the other wildcard team, like we were talking about earlier, the Avalanche taking down the Flames. I mean, the format obviously is doing something right if we're getting these crazy upsets.
Yeah.
At least for a spectator's point of view. Unless you're a Lightning or Flames fan.
I have a student who's a Lightning fan who probably is never going to listen to this podcast, but I'll try to make sure he listens to this podcast or the previous one, which we destroyed Lightning about, because he's a big Tampa Bay fan. Not only Lightning fan, but he's a big Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, which I don't know who in the right mind is a Buccaneers fan. Good gosh.
Not anymore.
Unless you were, you know, in the prime time when they went to the Super Bowl in 2000, who knows what.
Yeah.
2004 maybe. Anyways, yeah, it is hilarious to see how good Tampa Bay was and how they've just completely were decimated. I mean, these weren't even close games either. You look at the scores of these games, 5-1, 3-1, 7-3. I mean, the closest one was 4-3, which was the first game, but I mean, I believe Tampa Bay was up 3-0 at one point and then lost 4-3.
Yeah, they were. They were like, all right, we're going to write this. We're going to go on a run here, and we're going to be fine. And nope. Blew it.
All right, so who do you guys like out of the Eastern Conference? Who do you guys like out of the Western Conference? Now that Pittsburgh's gone,
woo,
Lightning's gone, and you have the Capitals, Carolina, Islanders, Toronto, Boston. Both those teams are end up going to go to a 3-3 series because Capitals are going to lose tonight. Not even knowing what the score is, what they're playing right now. But the team I like is Toronto, partly because they're close to Buffalo, partly because they're playing Boston, which I do not like. But Toronto has a mix of good forwards with Austin Matthews, and I forget the other guy's name. They have a decent goaltender who I think will be hot after they beat the Boston series. Of course, they're probably going to lose now that I've mentioned it.
Yep.
But I like Toronto going all the way because the Caps are somehow going to choke.
I mean, they're losing 3-2 right now.
4-2.
Ah, even better.
Ding.
Honestly, I'm looking more at the Islanders. I think they've been very, very impressive. You know, sweeping the Penguins. I know it's not been the Penguins' best year, but I mean, it's the Penguins. You expect them to come in and do their thing. They're like the Spurs or something. You just expect them to get it together. Or you know, in college basketball, they're like Kentucky. You expect them to come to the tournament and then be like, oh, now they're the same team that we're used to them being, because this is when they come alive. Or your Tom Izzo, which, you know, that worked out decently for him this year. But, yeah, so I see them sweeping Pittsburgh. I think that puts the Islanders in a really good position and gives them a whole lot of confidence. I don't think a lot of people really expected that from them this year, at least not at the beginning of the year. Obviously, as we saw them winning a lot, it became pretty clear that this is a good team. But I think they're a very quiet pick to make it all the way.
Yeah, I actually have the Islanders as well coming from that side. I think they're very scary. Like Drew said, they swept Pittsburgh. Not an easy feat to do. I think if anything falls in their favor, or more or less not in their favor, because they went through so quickly and they're waiting so long right now, because it's looking like the Caps and the Hurricanes might end up going for another game.
Woo.
It could go a full 7-game series. So if that ends up happening, you have the Islanders just sitting here waiting. And I feel like that could work well strategically, but it could also make them fall out of their groove. And depending how they approach that situation, I think it's going to be telltale. If they end up coming out really strong against the winner of this Caps-Canes series, I think the Islanders could go all the way. And I think one big thing for them is having Barry Trotz as the coach. Having someone who was in the Stanley Cup playoffs and did very well, went all the way to the finals and won it last year, brings a wealth of experience to this New York squad. And I think that's really going to help them throughout the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to mention. I mean, imagine him going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, Stanley Cup playoffs. The Stanley Cup again. I mean, with a different team.
Right, on a different team, taking down his former team, potentially. Yeah,
that would be awesome. That would be pretty
cool. So my heart is telling me the Caps. My mind is telling me the Islanders.
Let's go Toronto. All right, what about Western
Conference? Sleep on those Blue Jackets because they shocked the heck out of the Lightning.
That's the only thing they're going to shock. I know nothing about the Western Conference. How does Preds?
They're up 1-0 right now in a must-win game for them. They have not come out looking their best this series. Dallas is playing like the Predators usually play in the playoffs. That desperate, like, throw as many guys in front of the puck as possible style of hockey that's very effective in the playoffs and a lot of fun to watch. I just wish it wasn't happening to the Predators. And if they can pull this off, they're still, I think, a pretty top-tier choice to make it all the way, especially with the Jets going out and Calgary going out. It's crazy. No matter who wins this San Jose-Vegas series, that team will be the only team from the Pacific Conference or Pacific Division left in the playoffs. It'll all be teams from the Central outside of them, with Calgary being out and then those two playing against each other. It's just nutty, that playoff format again. They're knocking themselves out really quick. But if it's not going to be Nashville, honestly, it's probably whoever the winner of the Sharks-Golden Knights series going to Game 7, I think tomorrow or Wednesday. But those two teams have just shown a whole lot of fight and have shown why they're two of the best teams in the Western Conference, and I honestly think after this series, they're kind of going to be ready for whatever any other team throws at them. I just don't see how they can't carry the momentum from a hard-fought series against a very good team, no matter who it is. That being said, I think it'll be the Sharks. They're just a mean, tough team, and they added just enough young talent this year to keep them from getting too tired too quick in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely a good chance the Sharks swim on here. I have a feeling it's going to be the winner of that series as well. Drew, you and I seem to be on the same page tonight. San Jose Sharks and Golden Vegas Knights, or the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they've both looked like they're playing on a whole nother level right now. They're both playing extremely competitive, and I think you're seeing two of the best teams in the Western side playing against each other in this series. I really do think the winner is going to go on. I do think they might have a little trouble here with Colorado, though. Nathan MacKinnon is one player to watch over there on Colorado. He's stellar, age 23, coming in as a center, and he just cannot stop scoring. And the Flames really saw it at the highlight of their night because he just put him down 4-1. And I do think whoever is going to move on from this Sharks night series is going to have trouble with the Avalanche. I do think they'll overpass them, though. I think they'll melt the Avalanche and move on to the Stanley Cup Finals.
You know what has the least vague injuries? The NHL. They literally say nothing about injuries.
Right. Oh, he has an upper body injury. So it's something above his waist. That's all we're going to tell you.
Or like a lower leg injury.
Yeah, a lower body injury. It could be his groin. It could be his leg. It could be his pinky toe. We don't know.
It could be his left butt cheek for all we know.
Gosh, that would be painful.
Right, maybe he just has a zit on his leg and it makes his hockey pants hurt. I don't know.
Or diaper rash.
I would hope not.
Jockstrap rash.
Yeah.
Toe fungus. Yeah, I mean, those are the least
Tyler,
vague
so who
injuries.
Are you taking from the Western side?
Oh, yeah. I really like to see St. Louis. And the reason why is because they have a former player from the Buffalo Sabres. That's literally the only reason why.
Wow, what a winning decision you made.
They've shown me that with that Buffalo Sabres player that they can do well because that was literally our best player from the Buffalo Sabres and they traded him to St. Louis. And now St. Louis is probably, with my luck, going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow. I could see them going to the conference finals. I think they are the best team left over there, to be honest. I mean, Dallas had potency. I think Nashville could be the most potent team out there. But St. Louis was also in a very strong series. I mean, they just went back and forth. It was like hit after hit between the two teams. Yeah, and I think St. Louis has shown that they can stick with the best. And because of that, I can see them coming out of that side of the bracket. But I think whoever wins out of the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights is just going to be too much for them to overtake.
Bada boom, bada bang.
Okay, guys, with that, anything else you want to say before we wrap this one up?
Happy Easter.
Happy Dingus Day.
And with that, you can find the show on Twitter at CAMB Podcast. You can also email us any questions, comments, concerns that you want us to talk about on the show. Hit us up at CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. Last but not least, if you love what we do here at OTN, if you want to support the show, want to support the host of the show, do so at patreon.com/OTN. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.